Morning, everyone. Nice to be here. Kind of turn this on. Okay. And great to be here. Good morning. Great to be here to gather around God's Word together. And what we're talking about today is being disciples. And in February, this is what our month looks like, being disciples. Disciples who grow together, that's what we'll be looking at today. Disciples who reach the world, that will be next week. And then following that, disciples who relieve suffering, disciples who have compassion, that will be our Compassion Sunday. And then on the 26th, as we've heard, disciples who make disciples, disciples who bring the gospel message to others, to bring them also to know Jesus. So that's what February looks like. And being a disciple then has many dimensions to it, doesn't it? Has many dimensions to it. And in the first reading, we had the reading from Matthew 28, which is a fairly well-known passage probably for you, but it's an important one. And we can just simply break this down into two phases, right? The first phase is the going and making disciples. This is go, make disciples and baptize them. It's outreach, it's evangelism, sharing the message of Jesus, conversion, people coming to know and trust Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And then we have the second phase, which is the teaching phase. This is the learning, growing, and becoming mature as disciples of Jesus. So if you're a disciple of Jesus, if you have put your faith in the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're now in the second phase. Okay, and in our Ephesians reading, we're going to see what that means, how that works for us, how we can grow, learn, and become mature, and do that together as disciples of Christ. So we're going to journey together. Being a disciple is being on a journey. It's being a pilgrim. And it's journeying together. And if we're on a journey, we want to make sure that we are heading in the right direction and getting to the right destination. And Ephesians is going to help us do that. Because we don't want to be like... I didn't want to use that one. Hey, can you take me to the photo at the end? It should be one with Sydney, Bondi Beach. See that one? Yeah, there it is. So there was a guy named... I see what I've done. Yeah, there was a guy from England. I think his name was Kingsley. You might have seen this story this week. And he wanted to go to Sydney, Australia. It was a dream trip of a lifetime. And so he booked his tickets to go to Sydney. Unfortunately, he went to a place called Sydney, Montana. And this is what Sydney, Australia looks like. This is what Sydney, Montana looks like. And so he never got to his destination. In fact, he was a long way short. From New York, he came. He got maybe 3 hours, I don't know, to Montana. He's a long way short of getting to Sydney, Australia, on his journey. So we don't want to be like that guy. His name was Kingsley, I think. And we don't want to be like him. We want to make sure we can get to our destination. And so we're going to find that Ephesians will help us to do that, to grow together and become mature together as disciples of Christ. So if we can go back to the slide back up the top. So in this passage, in this passage, Paul is talking about the body of Christ. He's talking about us journeying together as a church. And he uses the illustration of a body. And so you see here in verse 15, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Okay, that's the dominant image that Paul uses here, the image of a body growing. And we are those ligaments. We are the supporting ligaments that support each other and build each other up, and we each do our work as we go on our journey to maturity, as we grow to maturity. Now, disciples are members of God's church, and the church is the body, and Christ is the head of the church. Now, I'm a member of Strathfield Sports Club. You know that club up there at Strathfield, Strathfield Sports Club. I don't play any sports there. I've never played any sports there. But I have eaten the Korean fried chicken. Okay, it was pretty good. It's worth the price of admission. Okay, I paid for my membership. I think it was $15. And now I'm a member of the club. Okay, that's how I became a member. But how do we become a member of Christ's body? Well, we become a member because Jesus has paid our membership fees. Jesus has paid our fees when he died as a sacrifice on the cross for us. It's by his blood that we are made a member of the church. It's by his blood that we become disciples. It's a very expensive entry fee, isn't it? It's more than I can afford, but Jesus has paid it for me. And so church is a community of disciples who are members together, not by what we do, but by what Christ has done for us, by the grace that he has shown us. So if you are a disciple, if you have put your trust in the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Saviour, you are a member. You belong. It doesn't matter who you are, or where you're from, or what you look like, or what you can do. You are a member. You belong. You have a place. And in fact, we all belong together because there is unity. The church has unity just as a body has unity. It is one body. And we are a diverse group, but we are one. We are one, though we are many. And from all the lands on earth we come. We share a, not a dream, but a hope. And we sing with one voice. You are, I am, we are. Well, we're Australians, aren't we? Maybe. But more importantly, we are members of this unity, which is the church. Okay? That was a song, if anyone didn't know. I think that was a song. We are one. And so Paul talks about this in the passage, very strongly emphasizes it in verse 4. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Lots of ones, seven in fact. And so it's very important. In fact, unity is fundamental to who we are. And it's founded on the very being of God himself. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, is what the Old Testament tells us. He is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One God, three persons, diversity, but unity. And so the church itself is founded on the very nature of the Godhead. And that is the characteristic of the church. The church is one. And so we are members of that one body. Now, what is God's purpose for his disciples? What is God's purpose for his church? That's a good question to ask, isn't it? Well, we see that in verse 15. We will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. Okay? So in this passage, Paul's speaking about the church growing to maturity, and the image is the body. And God's purpose for the church is that it might become a full-grown body, a full-grown adult, and that each of its members might contribute to that growth and to that maturity. You see, a baby is not mature, okay? A baby can't do anything. When our little munchkins were born, they were just little, beautiful little things, but they couldn't do anything. If you notice, even babies, they can't actually put their arms up, but when they put their arms up, it only goes up to their head, like that. right? I don't know why the proportions are all out, but as you grow, and become mature, you know, you can do this, right? Which is much more useful. And so that's the image that Paul is using. A baby becomes a full-grown adult. Now, I chose this picture because he looks like, well, he's a full-grown adult. He looks fairly mature. He looks wise. He looks strong. I could have chosen a woman, I guess. The church is the bride of Christ. But I came across this guy, and he looks like a mature adult. So from a baby to a mature adult, this is the picture that Paul is presenting to us, okay, in this passage. And this is the process of the church growing. So how does this maturity happen? Well, in verse 7 we read, "To each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it." Okay? We can say that Jesus gives gifts. In this context, the grace refers to the gifts that Jesus gives. And after a description before this of Jesus coming into the world and being victorious over his enemies, which is the cross. The cross is Jesus' victory over his enemies, over sin and death, and all that oppose him. He is then able to hand out these gifts. And we get more detail of these gifts in verses 11 to 13. So Christ himself gave the apostles and the prophets. Okay, so these gifts establish the authority of the Word of God. The evangelists, those who are proclaiming the word of God and making disciples through the message of salvation. And then pastors and teachers, using and teaching that word of God to the church. So what do these gifts do, these word gifts, these word-oriented gifts? What do these gifts do? Well, we read, to equip his people for works of service, to help the body of the church to serve each other, to use the gifts that they have been given. And what is the result of that? So that the body of Christ may be built up. You see, this is the process. But built up to where? Well, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature. So that is where we're headed. So we need to ask, what then does this maturity look like? Well, it looks like this: attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ, Christ-likeness. And so it's interesting that Arthur shared Psalm 27 with us, and his final comment was Christ-likeness that comes from there, right? And so, you know, that's always been God's goal for us. What does it mean to be like Christ? It doesn't mean to walk on water or turn water into wine. Alas, no. It means Christ-like character. You see, when sin entered the world and corrupted our very being, we were created in the image of God, but we became tarnished. We became tarnished. Our image of God became tarnished. But now, as disciples of Christ, we can become shiny again as the Spirit of God works in us. And so, as we become shiny, as God's Spirit works in us and works in our church, as we build each other up to maturity, we become Christ-like. Now, we could just go to Galatians 5, which is a wonderful description of the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's mature fruit. That's what it looks like in us as God does his work in us. And we see Paul touches on some aspects in this passage. In verse 2, he says, "Be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love." That's what unity looks like, and that's what building each other up looks like. It means you are not the most important person in the room, It means you're not the most important person in the church. It means that people will annoy you, maybe even give you a hard time, but you will be gentle and patient. It means bearing with one another. We would say putting up with each other. It means acting in love towards each other. It means seeing people as Jesus sees them. I always find that a challenge. I'm very quick to judge, but I need to remember and ask the question, how does Jesus feel about this person? How does Jesus see this person? Well, Jesus loves this person. Jesus died for this person. That's right. So you love them too. They might be weird. They might be annoying. But you know, everyone is until you get to know them, right? Maybe. But we're called to love each other. That's Christ-likeness. So we see the process here is that we need the Word of God, and the Word of God teaches us the way of God, and God has given gifts to those to teach and spread and share the Word of God. And that Word of God must be taught in the church. It must be central. It must be fundamental. Knowledge and doctrine, good knowledge and doctrine, are essential. So we teach the Scriptures. But what we learn, we put into practice. What we learn, we live out. And we live it out in community. We live it out in our relationships with each other. Being a disciple is not just an academic exercise. It's not just head knowledge. It's not just gaining understanding and knowledge. It's becoming more like Christ. And to do that, we must do that in community. We must do that in relationships with each other. And so to grow to maturity, we need the Word of God, and we need to grow together by putting the Word of God into practice. And so Paul finishes in verse 14 and 15 by saying, then we will no longer be infants. You see, we've grown up, we've become adults, we've become mature. We'll no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. This summer, going to the beach with the kids, went out just that little bit further into the surf, which was exciting. But every now and again, that wave just kind of caught them out. Or they're trying to catch the wave, and it's just a little bit too big for them, and it tosses them around. You can imagine a little child maybe in a big ocean surf. It's kind of a scary thought, isn't it? A child just being tossed around by the waves. But that's what an immature church is at risk of. But a church that is mature, that is growing together as each part does its work, is a strong, resilient church and is able to withstand the attacks and deceptions of the devil and of the world. And so that's the kind of church we want to be. That's the journey that we are on. So I want to suggest three highlights to summarize. The first is, have a sense of belonging. Have a sense of belonging. Know that you belong. A disciple of Christ belongs to the body of Christ. And I want everyone to feel like they belong. And I want everybody to feel and make everybody else feel like they belong. We have welcomers that do a great job when people come into the church. Put your hand up if you're a welcomer. Okay? Now, this is actually a trick question. Okay? Put your hand up if you are a welcomer. That's everybody. Okay? Everybody. We have our specialist welcomers. But you know what? We're all welcomers, aren't we? We all welcome each other to church. And we're glad to see each other. And we're glad to meet together. And we all belong. So have a sense of belonging. And have a sense, secondly, of direction. Have a sense of direction. Make sure we're moving in the right direction. Now, can I go back up to that other photo that was at the beginning? So there's a story of an American football game, NFL game, where a guy named Jim Marshall did something very unusual. You might not know anything about NFL, American football, but the quarterback gets the ball and he threw it. He threw it forward. That's weird, isn't it? He threw it forward. And it went to one of his teammates and he caught it. This is the 49ers, the San Francisco 49ers. And the guy caught the ball, but then he got tackled and the ball came loose and there's a scramble. And a guy named Jim Marshall from the Minnesota Vikings picked up the ball and he started running. And he's running, and he's running, and he's running alone. You see him there. That's him running. And he gets to the end, to the goal. And he throws the ball up in celebration. It's a touchdown. Except he went in the wrong direction. He was running the wrong way. And when he got there, this is his teammate telling him, "You went the wrong way." And he may have said some other things to him as well. So it's important, isn't it, that as a church we're going the right way. And we go the right way when we have God's word central to what we do and when we're putting God's word into practice by growing together as disciples. So let's have a sense of direction, that this is the direction that we're moving in to maturity. And thirdly, have a sense of commitment. Okay, be committed to this body. Commit to serving each other. And there are lots of ways we can do that, and we'll be talking about that in future weeks. There might be things that you feel you can do, gifts that you have, reading the Bible, or praying, or welcoming, or being a Bible study leader, doing administration, helping serve, helping with some of the events that we'll have coming up this year and organising those. There's lots of ways we can be working together to bring our body to maturity and to serve each other and to be growing together. So we want to be intentional about that. We want to be committed to that. And one way we can do that is by encouraging each other by meeting together. Now, we meet together here at church. We meet together, some of us, in small groups. And there's also another way we can meet together, and that is by meeting together one-to-one. So growing together to maturity, we're going to launch a program called One-to-One Meetups, because that's what we're going to be doing, one-to-one meetups. So one-to-one meetups is a way in which we can encourage each other and help each other grow as disciples by meeting together, not just on Sundays or in a small group, but outside of that. And so we want to think about whether or not it's something that you can do, and I want to encourage you to really think about doing it. What is the purpose? Well, it's a way in which we can grow together to maturity. It's a very effective way. It's a way we can be connected to each other and encourage each other and do life together, even if it's only for a short time. How will it work? Well, you can sign up by filling in the form. Let's come to that later. I'll just talk about what we can do when we meet up. We can read the Bible together. We can be sharing what's going on for us. We can be praying. We can be doing life together. That's very brief in a nutshell. And so there might be somebody already that you think, oh, I could meet up with so-and-so, and we would encourage you to ask that person. You might be thinking about, well, I'm a younger Christian, or I'm young in the faith, and I'd like to have an older person who might actually be able to mentor me. And so you might be thinking along those lines. But you might just want to meet up and connect with somebody to share and to read the Bible and pray and grow together. Just a one-on-one meetup. Well, it's good to be intentional. It's good to read the Bible if that's what you want to do, and there are resources for that. This is the Word One-to-One. It helps you read through John's Gospel. I've been using it. It's really good, and it gives you discussion points as you go along. There's also this book, One-to-One Bible Reading, David Helm, and he offers a whole bunch of ways things you can do as you meet up one-to-one. So there's reading the Bible. There's, as I said, sharing, praying together, doing life together. So you can fill in the form. There is a form. Is there a form? I think there's a form. Yeah, there it is. You can scan me. If you scan that, then you go to the form and you can fill it in. It's a very easy form. Or in the newsletter that you received this week, there's also an opportunity to click on the link and go to the form. We're going to... there might be some other questions that you have, such as, how often will we meet? Well, whatever works for you. You find a time and a place that suits. It might be once a week. It might be once a month. It might be just whenever you can get around to it. How long will it last? Well, we'll stick at it for a year, and then we'll see how it goes and maybe mix it up again next year. There's a space on the form for comments, and it's a place where you might say, oh, I'd like to have a mentor, or I'd like to mentor someone. Or you may even put something like, I'd like to be in a triplet. So it's sort of a, you know, maybe one-to-one is a bit daunting, and maybe a triplet might sound better for you. So you could do that. So let's see how we go. I encourage you to be a part of it. Let's get those ligaments working together to build us all up to maturity. And let's look out for each other and connect with each other. We're going to hear from a few people really briefly about what it's been like for them. I'm going to ask Elsie if she's free of kids to come up.
Hi, everyone.
Hi, Elsie. Well, I tell you, there's lots we would like to talk to you about, and I hope that we'll do that coming up in the future. But right now, you've had some experience with this kind of thing.
Yeah.
Tell us what you did when you met up one-to-one with someone.
Yeah, so when I met with people one-to-one, it was mainly reading the Bible or reading books together. And it followed, the topics followed the life stages that I was in. Mm-hmm. So when I was a new Christian, I spent a lot of time mainly reading the Bible with the person that was meeting up with me, and sometimes we read things about doctrine, and that was good for me to know Jesus better, and to be prepared to be able to share about my belief to people. And then when I had my first baby, I was very time poor, and so I met with someone on the phone, and we read something about how to shepherd our children for their good and growth. And then in more recent years, I wanted to work on more areas about busyness and also how to navigate relationships. Yeah, so that was very good for that, to have someone accountable and to help me with my spiritual growth in the area.
Yeah.
And then now I'm meeting with Anna, and that's been very fun and awesome. And we've been reading about how the digital age has been affecting and changing how we act and react to each other.
Mm.
Yeah, and I've been really challenged in how that cultivates my relationship to be more Christ-like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, so you've had a lot of experience and varied experiences of doing this.
Mm.
What do you see as the benefit for you?
I feel like it's been very pivotal for my growth as a Christian. I find it more comfortable to meet with someone one-to-one. For accountability and to be able to share things that are more personal. And I think sometimes we can't see things about ourselves that others can, just like that footballer, We just need someone to point things out to us. And also when you share vulnerability, I think it's really nice to have someone committed to walking with us and to pray for us. And I also found it helped build and foster normality in just talking to each other in a way where we're asking for each other for prayer points and also, just caring for each other spiritually to be something very natural. And a lot of these relationships actually became very strong, trusting friendships that were both lifelong and also one that continued to build each other in Christ. Yeah, so I thought it was very, very beneficial. Yeah.
Right. Mm. Thanks, Elsie.
Yeah.
Gav, I'm going to ask Gav to come down. Thank you. So you might think, oh, it's just women who like to do this kind of thing, but not so. It's for the guys too. Might be a bit different. Gail, what's been your experience? You've been meeting with someone from
church. Yep. So Dan and I meet up every now and then to chat and talk. It's not as structured, I'd say, compared to, say, previous sort of one-to-one type meetings that I've had in the past. Mainly because I think I can learn as much from Dan as hopefully he can learn from me. I found it a different type of dynamic. We have very common interests in terms of music and film. So I think at the beginning it was very much how do we think about this album, these songs, this film? How do we confront culture and appreciate it and sort of critique it and how we might think about it? And then it obviously broadens out into just how you're going with life, relationships, work, how we're thinking about struggles, how we can pray for each other. So it's very less structured, less formal than some of the other ways. Like we don't really do Bible studies together. We're happy to do that if you want to, man. I don't know. So it's very chill, yeah. More of a relaxed sort of engagement.
So what works for you, and yeah, you have that accountability and sharing life together. So thanks, that's great. Yeah. Oh, yeah, no. And lastly, Anna. Anna's also done this kind of thing.
Yep.
Just tell us what's been the benefit for you in meeting up one-to-one with people.
I think I love that the gospel says to us that we are broken and that basically we can't do life without God. And actually the truth is we can't even do life without each other. And so I just love how walking together through life, we can help each other to reach to what we talked about today, that Christ-likeness. When you look at Jesus, he's so amazing. There's just so much to look up to him in how he treated people, how he loved people. And I feel like I fail at that quite regularly. So it's great to have someone walking alongside me, encouraging me, and pointing me towards Jesus. And I think that's what we can do for each other, because I think both of you said, you know, you can't see your own blind spots. So it's great to have someone who can lovingly and kindly and gently point those out so that we can all be growing towards Jesus. Thanks.
So as you can see, there's things you can do, and I'm happy to provide resources for you and things that you can do as you meet together. But mainly, I just want to encourage you to meet, connect, and do it in a way that works for you. And so I encourage you to sign up, and we'll see how we go. Okay? Let's do life together. Let's grow together as disciples of Christ. And the band will come up.